You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Talking about the housing announcement and the Trans-Tasman bubble.
That was Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party.
So next up we have Anika with her piece around disability housing in New Zealand.
The Wire.
Like, naked is the theme. Like, people just love getting naked.
Yesterday, the government unveiled their new housing plan, which has left many seeking more details on accessible housing for disabled persons. A lack of accessible housing for disabled Kiwis has been a struggle for a long time, and I talked to Disability Rights Commissioner Paula Tesserio to ask her about obstacles faced and what the government can start doing to remedy this.
Cool. So just to start off with, would you be able to maybe outline some of the current barriers faced by disabled Kiwis in the housing market?
There are a number of really pressing needs in the housing market for disabled people. So firstly, there's a shortage of accessible housing right across the to buy, to rent and the social housing markets. And because poverty is also an issue for many disabled people, the lack of accessible homes mean that even those who have sufficient income can't actually buy any way out of this problem. So it's can be a real double whammy for disabled people. And the other critical issue is that situation. For a very long time, this is not new. It's just that there are multiple issues now impacting.
Cool. And I mean, just quickly, what obviously the current what's available in the current market doesn't reflect the amount of New Zealanders who need it. So, what type of accessibility issues are we talking about here?
So there are a variety of access needs that disabled people have. It's been estimated that only 2% of New Zealand's housing stock is accessible, yet 1 in 6 New Zealanders require some form of adaptation. So existing issues, you know, are right there, and with new builds, the 15% target of building to universal design standards, in my view, is too low. So with some of the current sort of housing situations, you know, from a rental perspective, just under a third of disabled people live in Māori homes compared with a fifth of non-disabled people, and 40% rate their house affordable compared with 50% of non-disabled people. Now, many of those issues around mouldy and damp homes are exacerbated for disabled people because more disabled people rent than non-disabled people. So, you know, right across all of the different parts of the housing market, there are issues affecting disabled people.
When you say that, sort of behind that statistic that disabled Kiwis are more likely to live in homes that are mouldy and not, I mean, not healthy, and that is connected to the fact that they are more likely to rent than non-disabled persons, would this be an issue regarding renters' rights or reform in that area? Or is it still a matter of just making sure that we have an availability of properties?
I think it's both. It's making sure that some of the issues in the rental market are addressed, but disabled people, in the same way as non-disabled people do, want access to be able to buy their own home and have security of tenure. And, you know, it's not uncommon for disabled people to have to change places that they live and get new adaptations made. Often they have to wait for long periods of time for housing modifications to occur. So even if they have a place, by the time modifications get made, it can be, you know, quite a lengthy time. So, you know, there are a number of sort of multifaceted issues in the housing sector which affect disabled people. and the other really important issue is the location of new builds. So one of the things for disabled people that's really important is that there is good accessible transport routes close to where new builds are going. And so, you know, that's another factor to really consider to make sure that the needs of disabled people are at the fore when deciding on where to build the new housing stock.
Quickly touching on what you said about modifications being needing to be made in order to make houses accessible for disabled persons, is that government subsidised at the moment?
Yes, it is for some people, and that's through ACC potentially MSD and also Ministry of Health. So it sort of comes through a variety of ways, and you know, many disabled people are talking about the length of time that it can take to have housing modifications done, which, you know, can really add stress to people's lives. So when we talk about the housing crisis for disabled people, there are issues right across the renting market, the buying market, and the social housing market. And so it's really important that as we move forward to address housing issues, that the needs of disabled people are really understood and that disabled people have a place at the table to help design solutions and be part of implementation.
Has there been any sort of government interaction with the disabled community to explore those needs and kind of put a level of care in towards making sure that they're being met?
I believe the government are, you know, informed and well aware of the critical needs facing disabled people, and certainly disabled people have been communicating with government for some time now about the importance of addressing the housing issues. I think, you know, like any reform that rolls out, the devil's in the detail, and what I'm really interested in is seeing, you know, where the new builds will go, how many will be built to universal design standards, how many will be accessible from the get-go, where they're being built and whether they're being built close to accessible transport routes, and, you know, those issues being resolved, because these issues have been around for far too long for disabled people. And it's one of the most common issues that people talk to me about, is just this dire issue around housing.
Sorry, just if we could make one clarification for our listeners out there, what are the universal design standards?
So universal design standards are where a property is built so that things can be adapted later, and they're designed so that, for example, you know, families who have buggies can more easily use the space. Older people can use the space. So they're designed with a really wide variety of people's needs in mind, and there are organisations in New Zealand like LifeMark, who, you know, specialise in creating spaces and advising on how to create spaces that meet that need. So it's really trying to design with the greatest level of need in mind so that you don't always have to repurpose things. But what it does also do is it means that if you do need to create some specific solutions and make the property more accessible for, say, disabled people, then you can do that if you're starting with something that's been universally designed to begin with.
How much is the current market influenced by those universal design standards?
I start to see them influencing the market more, in the sense that, you know, we have an ageing population. 24% of New Zealand population are disabled. I'd really like to see that they are heavily influential. That's one of the reasons why I'd really like to see the target that Kāinga Ora have for their new builds being universally designed, which was 15%. Now, I really like to see that lifted and be actually very aspirational about why not build all new builds according to those design standards, so that we are future-proofing New Zealand for our ageing population, for disabled people, and that those properties can be used by a wide variety of people. I think 15% is very low, and I think there's an opportunity to influence new builds much more with a higher target. But, you know, that's just housing provided through Kāinga Ora. I think it would be wonderful if those universal design standards were, you know, also influenced the rest of the housing market.
Is there, I mean, do you think there might be some sort of financial deterrent to why they're not, why the universal design standards aren't more widely upheld within the housing market? Is it more expensive to do things that way?
My understanding is that it's actually cheaper to create something that is universally designed than try and retrofit a property later. So if you're trying to cater for that future need in New Zealand, then my understanding is that it's cheaper to create from a universal design perspective to begin with and try and retrofit properties later and then try and make them accessible. So that's something that I would hope that people would keep in mind when investing.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.